Flamed Dalet Amid Beis on the last line, Safek van Dreigenis. The Mishnah records a machlokes about violating the Shabbos through Milan Shabbos in the cases of a Safek and an Androgynous, whereas Rabbi Yehuda allows it in the case of Androgynous. The Chachamim say that Safek is not enough to override the Shabbos. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa, or Lasso. The Torah speaks about the eighth day of the birth of the baby. And in Vayikra Yud Beis, it says, Bayom Hashmini Yimol Besar or Lasso. Now, from the words Ubayom Hashmini, Chazal learned that Milas Docha Shabbos. And then the Pasuk says, or loso, as a mute, and the Chachamim Darshan, or loso, vadai, doches ha-shabbis, velo, or loso, suffik. Now we're starting the daf, kuf, lamed, hey. So we have now a mute, as far as the Chia Shabbos is concerned, in the case of suffik. And only an Orla, which is Vadai, that overrides the Shabbos. Orloso Vadai, Dochas Shalom, Velo Androgynous. Now, we have a mute to exclude Androgynous. We don't know if it's a Zohar or an Akeva. And an Androgynous is not Doche Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Androgynous Doches HaShabbos, the Onish Karis. Meaning, if the androgynous did not undergo Mila, then he comes under the punishment of Kares, which applies to any uncircumcised Jew. Now we have another mute from the word Orloso. Orloso vadai doches ha-shabbos. Lo nolad bein ha-shmoshos doches ha-shabbos. We have a baby that was born during the period of Bein HaShmosh, we call it the twilight period. And that means we don't know whether it's part of the yesterday or part of today. So let's say, for example, on Friday night, twilight, going into Shabbos, the baby was born. So we would have thought maybe we can circumcise the baby and we could assume that the baby was born on Shabbos. But the answer is it's Bein HaShmoshos. And since it's Bein HaShmoshos, then it might have been born on Friday, and Shabbos therefore would be the ninth day after the baby's birth. And that would not override the Shabbos. That's already Mila Shelo Bizman. Furthermore, Orloso, another drosha, another mute from the word Orloso, is Orloso Vadai Dochas HaShelo Noleid Kshumol Dochas HaShabbos. We have the case of a baby that was born circumcised. And it means that he doesn't need Mila because he doesn't have an Orla. Beit Shammai Omrim Tzorch Lahatif Menu Dam Bris, Ubeis Hillel Omrim Eino Tzorch. So that Beit Shammai require Hatofes Dam Bris. In other words, he is Chayav and Mila, he's an Orel. And we just take a little bit of blood from this, shall we call him a natural, circumcised infant. Now, as Beit Shammai holds that maybe there's still some sort of foreskin that is below, and they have to therefore do a tofes dam bris. Now, Beit Shammai concede that this a tofes dam bris does not override the Shabbos. Beis Hillel Omrim Eino Tzorech. Fine. Now, again, this is a case of suffix. In other words, when Beit Shammai require Tofes Dam Bris, that's only B'toras suffix. That maybe there's an Orla Kavusha, that maybe there's a foreskin that's below the surface level. And that's not enough to be Dochas Shabbos, even according to Beit Shammai there. Om Rav Shimon ben Alozo, lo nechleku Beit Shammai silal shenolat shumol shetzorich lahatif mimenu dam bris v'neisha Orla so kavusha hi. Even Basil would agree that in the case of a Nolad Mohul, you require hatofes dam bris because the arla is kvusha. The arla is suppressed in the foreskin. And basically, there is a foreskin. It's suppressed into the flesh of the organ. It's not visible. Al man echliku, what's the case in which they argue, is al gersh and his gaikshu mohul. So let's say you have a non-Jew and he underwent circumcision. I'm sorry, he underwent gerus, and he has no orla. So what do we do? And the question is, we said before that even Basil agrees that a Jewish child that's nolad mol requires hatofes dam bris, and we're afraid maybe it's orla kavusha. So why, in the case of a ger shebol is gair and he needs mila and he's ba mohul, why don't we require at least hatofes dam bris, which Beit Shammai indeed requires, and Basil doesn't require it? So we'll try to see as we go through the sugi if we can figure this out. Omar Mar, we had a brisa earlier that Arla has to be vadai to be doches haShabbos v'lo sofek doches haShabbos. Lasuye mai, what kind of suffix do the brisa intend to be marbe, that it's not docha Shabbos? We have the list of all the sfeikas, so there must have been a case that this klal is coming to include in the exclusion from being docha Shabbos. Lasuye had the Torah Rabbanon, the case in the brisa of a baby ben shiva, in other words, it was born after 7 months of pregnancy, and its eighth day after birth is on Shabbos, is Mechalanes HaShabbos. We can assume that the baby is a viable being, and we can go ahead and do the meal on Shabbos. But Ben Shmona, if it's after the eighth month of pregnancy, ain't Mechalanes HaShabbos. Here, the assumption is the baby will not survive, and therefore the Mila is not a mitzvah of Mila, and therefore doesn't override the Shabbos. And if it's a Safek Ben Shiva, Safek Ben Shmona, we don't know if it was born after 7 months or after 8 months, and the nafkamina whether the child will survive or not, is Ein Mechalin Olves HaShabbos. That's the ribui of this Zeh Klal kind of thing, of this Velo Safek Doches HaShabbos, when we don't know whether it's born after 7 or 8 months of pregnancy. Now, in a Ben Shmona, which we assume after 8 months it will not survive, Harehu, it has the status of Mukta, Ke'evan, like a stone. The Osul Taltalo. Okay, now you should know that Tosis points out here in the name of the Re that in our time you're allowed to be metaltal all the Tinokos. We're not what you call Bekiyim to determine, we don't have the expertise to determine if this baby that was born after 8 months is whether it was born exactly after 8 months. Sometimes a woman will become pregnant right before she goes to mikveh, right after she goes to mikveh, and sometimes she won't get pregnant right after she comes back for the mikveh. And therefore all babies are really, in a sense, when you don't know if it's a full 9 months, there's suffering whether it's Ben Sheva or Ben Shmona. And even if we knew for sure, says Tosa, that it was a Ben Shmona, like for example, the last time he had relations with his wife was, let's say, 8 months ago, and then he was Poresh, he never had a relationship afterwards. He says, even in that case, Imlo Nirolok Pagam, if we see no deficiency in the baby, whether it's Bisaro, Bitzvav, the baby is perfectly healthy, then you're allowed to be mal on Shabbos. Even if we know for sure it was 8 months of pregnancy. And Tosis gives a quote from a Gemara in Yevamos that we have to assume that even though the baby was born what we think is in the eighth month, but we have to assume that it was conceived during the 7 month period of life, but somehow stayed within the mother's womb and it was born after the 8 month, and therefore it's a perfectly healthy baby. So what we're learning here is more theoretical than practical in our times. Anyway, Ben Shmona is Harev Kevin Vyosu the Taltavel Imo Shocha Umenikaso Mipnea Sakona. What does that mean, Mifnea Sakana? We're assuming the baby's not going to survive, so what kind of Sakana here? And she could bend over and nurse the baby. What it means is that the mother is in danger. Why? Because Ribui Cholov Shebedodev, she has too much milk, she has an overabundance of milk in her breasts, then that could cause her to be sick and even Chas v'shalom, to put her in a life-threatening situation. Right? When a woman has that caking and so forth, she needs antibiotics really quickly. And this suffek, whether this child, whether he's ben shiva or ben shmona, the b'ris is coming to exclude it from mila being docha Shabbos. Okay. Now, previously we quoted the b'ris that recorded a machlokas tanoim in the case of a baby that was nolad mohol, does he require hatofas dam bris? Itmar Rav Amar Halachik Tanakama, which means that we paskin according to the Tanakama that in interpreting Beis Hillel, and we paskin of course like Beis Hillel, that you don't need hatofas dam bris in a case of nolad mohol. Shmuel had a different version. Halacha Kirevi Shimon ben Elazar, which means that Rabbi Shimon Elazar held that everybody, even Beis Hillel, agree that a child who's nolad mohol requires hatofas dam bris. And now the Gemara records an episode in this vein. Rav Ada bar Ava is yalid le hahu yenuka. He was the father of a baby who was born kshu mohol, and the eighth day since the birth of the baby was on Shabbos. Ahadre atlasar moloi. He brought the baby to 13 different moalim, and not one of them were willing to be machal Shabbos and circumcise this baby because it was nolad mol. Adeshavye, until he himself, the father of Ada, performed the Mila, and Nebuch v'yaso krus shivcha. He did not do a perfect Mila, to say the least, and he cut the gid, and the baby became a krus shivcha. This is a mutilated baby, and the actual... Just 1 second, where am I? Yeah. The actual translation is genitally mutilated. Okay, he adds the word genitally. Fine, that's a krus shivcha. In other words, he sliced off flesh from the child's member. So he really wanted to go to a mohel, but no mohel agreed to do it. Omar, so Rav Ada bar Ava declared, Tasey Lee, okay, just 1 second here, I'm sorry. Tasey Lee, which means literally, this tragedy is coming to me. In other words, I deserve it. Why? Because I, the Avri Adarav, I violated the Psak of Rav, who ruled in accordance with the Tanakhama, that even Basil would agree that it's unnecessary to do Atofas Dam Bris in a tinok, in a child that was born circumcised. So Rav Ada now laments the fact that he performed a desecration of Shabbos in violation of Rav's ruling. Omalei Rav Nachman, So Rav Nachman turns to Rav Ad and he says, Vada Shmuel lo Ovar. And what do you mean you transgressed the ruling of Rav? You didn't transgress the ruling of Shmuel. And just one second. Amar, Diomar Shmuel, he says, I'll tell you why you transgressed the ruling of Shmuel, because when did Shmuel say that Halach is like Rav Shimon Elazar, and everybody agrees that Noel Mol is Matifim in a Dem Bris, that's only Bechol, that's only during the week, everyone agrees you need Atofis Dem Bris, Al B'Shabbos Mi Omar. Shmuel never went as far as to say that you're allowed to override the Shabbos for the sake of Atofis Dem Bris in a case of Noel and Mol. Because at the end of the day, it's only a suffix whether it's Orla Kvusha. And because of the suffix of Orla Kvusha, everybody's going to require a Tofes Dam Bris, but not in that case to override the Shabbos. So the Gemara clarifies who, meaning Rav Adavarava Sovar, he held that the reason why Nolad Mol needs a Tofes Dam Bris is Vade Orla Kvusha. That we certainly assume that there's a foreskin that's underneath the skin, and therefore he needs Hatovas Dam Bris as a full-fledged Mila, even in the case of Nolad Mol, and that would override the Shabbos. And we have Machlokas Amoraim on this very point, the Itmar. We learned in the Beis Medrash, Rabba Omar, Rabba says that the reason why we need Hatovas Dam Bris is Chayshin and Shema Orlok Vushahi, which means it's only a suffix that maybe he has an Arla, and certainly would not override the Shabbos. Therefore, Rav Yosef on Rav Vadai Arla Kvushahi, we have no doubt about it, and therefore we're going to be Mechal Shabbos. So Rav Yosef asks the following question to himself, Minoa Midile, how do I know that this is so? From whence do I derive the conclusion that Nolad Mol is a Vadai Arla situation? Sanya, because we learned in a brisa, Rabbi Eliezer Akapor Omer Lo Nechleku Beit Sham Beis Hillel Al Nolad Kshu Mol Shetzorach LaHatif Mimenu Dam Bris. Even Beis Hillel agrees that a Nolad Mol situation, this baby needs Hatofes Dam Bris Al Man Nechleku. What is the Machlokes about Nolad Mol in a case where the eighth day of his Mila is on Shabbos? Are you allowed to Chalavas a Shabbos? Are you allowed to Atofas Dam Bris on Shabbos? Beit Shammai Omrim Mechalam Olav Esa Shabbos. Beit Shammai Omrim Ein Mechalam Esa Shabbos. In other words, Beit Hill hold that the requirement of Atofas Dam Bris is only a suffix, and maybe he has an Ola Kvusha, that's not enough to override the Shabbos. And Rav Yosef says, Lav Mechalal to Tanakama Mechal and Ovisa Shabbos. Shouldn't we be Medayik from the words of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Lezer Kapar, who says that there's a machlokas, whether you Mechal Shabbos for a case of a Tofas Dam Bris of a Nolad Mol, Tanakama, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says Mechal and Ovisa Shabbos. In other words, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, who says that lo nechleku, there's no machlokas but nolad mol, and everybody requires hatofes dam bris even beis hillel, is he holds that mechal and ovis haShabbos. And if that be the case, then we have now a tanakama, that's Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who holds that according to everyone you could be mechal Shabbos. Right? It's only Rabbi Lezer Akapor, he was the one who said no, that the machlokas is whether you could be mechalas a Shabbos, meaning whether Atofas Dam Bris and Nolad Mol is b'toras Sofeg or b'toras Vadai, that's machlokas b'sil Beit Shammai. But Rabbi Yosef is learning that the Tanakam himself, who is Rabbi Shimon Elazar, he holds that they never had an argument about Nolad Mol. They both agree that he's a Vadai Orla Kvusha, and therefore we override the Shabbos. That's the Shita Rav Yosef, and that would also reflect what we saw back in Rav Ada Bar Ava, who circumcised his own child. So the Gemara asks, how do you know that Rav Shimon Elazar actually holds that everybody agrees that it's a vaday or lekvusha dilma. Perhaps we could say the Tanakam, meaning Rav Shimon Elazar, is divrei hakol ein mechal and kavim. Maybe we meant to say that everybody agrees, even Beit Shammai, that you cannot override the Shabbos in the case of nolad mol, because it's only a suffix if he's got an orla. And the Gemara says, no, that's an untenable position. Why Kim Kane, if Rabbi Shimon Elazar holds that according to everyone, ain't Machal Nisa Shabbos, then it comes out that Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, who argues against the Shita of Rabbi Shimon Elazar, against the Tanakamo, is then, he's not arguing against the Tanakama in anything other than the Shita of Beit Shammai. We can reduce Rabbi Eliezer's dissension, he's dissenting in the framework of Beit Shammai. Again, according to Beis Hillel, everybody agrees that we're not Machal Shabbos. And according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who is the Tanakama, everybody agrees in this presentation of the Gemara that ain't Machalnes Shabbos. So the Gemara is going to say that the Dilma, if we're going to say that Tanakama of Shimon Elazar is of the opinion that Divrei HaKol ain't Machal in Kamar, well, that's impossible, because if that be the case, then Rabbi Shimon Elazar, if he's claiming that everybody agrees that ain't Machal in the Shabbos, then how are you going to understand Rabbi Eliezer HaKapor, who's not arguing with him except for Beit Shammai? Correct? Because clearly, according to Beis Hillel, everybody agrees that ain't Machal. So we're going to ask the following kashas. Taibu de Beit Shammai also lashmi inon. Is it so that that now Rav Shimon Elazar is coming to teach us the Shita of Beit Shammai? And we have a principle in Gemara Brachos, Beit Shammai b'makom Beis Hillel ainu Mishnah. He didn't have to mention Beit Shammai. So let's just summarize the Gemara's Shakla V'Tarya here. The Gemara says perhaps the Tanakama had stated that it's the opinion of all that we do not desecrate the Shabbos for a nolad mol situation, and Rabbi Elazar ben HaKapor is saying that according to Beit Shammai, we do violate the Shabbos for the sake of an olad mohul. And the Gemara says, Im Kain, that's an untenable interpretation, because if that be the case, Rabbi Elazar ben HaKapor is coming to explain Beit Shammai and does that make any sense that Rabbi Elazar ben HaKapor is coming to teach us the opinion of Beit Shammai? That's not so. So again, if you're going to, this is the argument here of Rav Yosef. If you're going to say that the Tanakama holds that according to everybody, we cannot override the Shabbos in the case of this Nolad Mol, then Rav Elazar HaKapor is coming to dispute this and claim that Beit Shammai does not allow the Dechiyah, the overriding of Shabbos, in this case of Nolad Mol. So then the whole point of Rabbi Eliezer's HaKapor statement is just to interpret Beit Shammai. And as we said before, is Beit Shammai Einu Mishnah. So Gemara says, no, that's not a good argument. Dilma Hochi Kamar. Here's what Rabbi Eliezer HaKapor is coming to say. To the Tanakam, I mean. Is lo nechleku Beit Shammai Beisil bedover zeh. There was never machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai on this very issue. Okay, then? And the Tanakhama never concurred with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, as Rabbi Yosef interpreted him. He says, Rabbi Elazar HaKapor, Eino bo lahotzi mishitas Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, el mishitas Tanakhama. Right, the Shita of the Tanakam was mentioned in the first Brisa in our Sugya. And Reb Shimon Elazar, right? That's not his problem. Meaning, Rabbi Eliezer HaKapra doesn't have an issue with Reb Shimon Elazar. He has an issue with the Tanakhama, who says that in the case of Nolad Mol, there's a machlok Sri Beit Sil Beit Shammai about whether you need Hatofes Dam Bris, which Beit Sil waives that requirement even during the week, and that has nothing to do with Shabbos. Whereas Beit Shammai insists that we need Hatofes Dam Bris, and here's where Rabbi Eliezer HaKapra says that no. On this issue, there's no machlok Sri Beit Sil Beit Shammai. Everybody agrees, it's unanimous, that you need a Tofes Dam Bris. The machlokas is whether or not that overrides the Shabbos. Then it comes out that Rabbi Lezer HaKapor is coming to teach us the Shita Beis Hillel, that even though Beis Hillel require a Tofes Dam Bris, nevertheless, it's not Docha Shabbos. So therefore, we've solved that problem. Rabbi Lezer HaKapor is not coming to teach me a Chiddush in Beit Shammai, but rather a Chiddush in Beis Hillel. At this point in the sugya, the Gemara is going to analyze the connection here between a milah on the eighth day and the law of tumas leida, the mother's tumas leida. Omar Rav Asi, okay, kol she'imo tmeil leida, if the childbirth leida generates tumas leida, as we're going to see the exceptions to that rule, is nivol shmona, then he's to be circumcised on the eighth day, and presumably we would override the Shabbos. But kol she'ein imo tmeo leida, if the mother is not, the birth itself doesn't generate tuma, is eino nivol bishmona, he will not be circumcised on the eighth day. Now again, you know, a yoledes becomes tmeah for 7 days after the birth of a boy, for 14 days after the birth of a girl. And what would be a case where a woman does not become tmeah leida after leida? Rashi gives one example, is a yotze dofen, in other words, she gave birth through a cesarean. There's another example of a non-Jewish woman who gave birth and afterwards converted. And she's not Tmeah because since at the time that she gave birth, she was not yet Jewish, so that birth does not generate Tuma. Shenemar, how do we know that there's this interdependence between Tuma, Tumas Leda, and Mila B'yom HaShmini? Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Isha ki tazriya v'yolda zachar u'tmeah, u'bayom HaShmini yimol b'sar orloso. So you see in this Pasuk, we started with the Tazria Utmeya, the issue of her becoming Tmeya mitzad Tumas Leida, and then we finish the Pasuk with the Mitzvah of Mila on the eighth day. So this is Rav Asi's opinion. Omele Abaye, Doros Harishon Miochichu. Let's go back to Avram Avinu, and from that generation until the Torah was given, and we'll see what we can learn from that. To ein imo tmeil leida, during that period of time before Matan Torah, there was no tumas leida. The tumah yoledes only came into existence as a legal entity after the Torah was given. But nevertheless, nivo b'shmona, which means that in Parshas Lech Lecha, Avraham Avinu is given the mitzvah of mila on the eighth day. Amalei Saravasi responds, Nitna Torah, and now we turn to Kuflam and Hamid Beis, Vinishad Shalacha, that after the Torah was given, we have this Limud, this Yalfusa, that's going to teach us a new law, which limits the eighth day of Mila to the case where the mother became Tmeah. So the Gemara asks, are you sure, Ravasi, about this? Aini, is that really true? By Itmar, we have a brisa that says that yotzei dofen umi sheyeshlo shte arlos. So the first case is a cesarean birth. Now we have a case of someone who has two foreskins, one grows on top of the other. And Rav Huna Rav Chia Bar Rav, they both fight each other about this these two cases as to whether we have a Mechal Shabbos. Chad Omar Mechalin all of us are Shabbos. Chad Omar Ein Mechalin. And we don't violate the Shabbos in these two cases according to that Mandi Omar. Now, why a child of a cesarean section is not going to, his meal is not overriding the Shabbos, that we'll have to see. We have to understand that. In case of a child that has two foreskins, so when the child is born, then the law of circumcision only applies to one of the two foreskins, and we don't know exactly which one is the foreskin, so that's a suffix, and it doesn't override the Shabbos. But I'd count lo pligi, they only have machlokas el lechal of the Shabbos, aval shmona. But as far as requiring milo on the eighth day, vade malinale, both Rav Huna and Rav Chiya bar Rav agree that there's no doubt that we do the milo on the eighth day. So we see that even though the child is born by a cesarean section, and that birth does not generate tumas leda for the mother, nevertheless, we circumcise him on the eighth day. So the Gemara answers, in defending Rav Asi, Habahatalia. In other words, the law of Dechi of Shabbos depends upon the law of the eighth day of Milah. The Shabbos will only be overridden for the sake of a circumcision that requires the eighth day. So therefore, if somebody states that a child who's born through a cesarean section is not circumcised on the Shabbos, he's of the opinion that such a child is not going to be circumcised on the eighth day. So you said that Lishmona Vadi Malinale. How do you know such a thing? And the Gemara continues, Kitanoi. Gemara now is going to ask Akasha on the Din of Rav Asi. Eini is his sova Itmar. We learned that Yotze Dofen. So this case is the cesarean birth. As we said before, is Rav Huna bar Rav Chiya bar Rav Chanom Rechalos HaShabbos Chanom Ar Ein Mechalos HaShabbos. So the diuk was that they only argue, just as a review, they only argue as far as whether or not you could be Mechalos HaShabbos. But don't they seem to agree that the meal is on the eighth day? And the Gemara now suggests that it's a Machlokes Tanoim. It's this din of Rav Asi really depends upon a machlokes tanoim about milas eved kanani. And it says the following. We have a brisa with regard to eved kanani, yesh yilid bayis. You have an eved who was born to a house with a shivcha, shenim oli echad, and the first day of the Leda is the day of Mila, V'yeshilid Bayis, but there's another case of an Eved with a Shivcha, Shenibol Lishmona, that the Mila is going to be on the eighth day of its birth. Yesh Eved, we have a third case of Miknas Kesef, of a different kind of an Eved, not an Eved Kanani, but an Eved that's bought with money, Shenimol Lishmona. So now the Braisa is going to explain the din first of Miknas Kes of the last din. Yesh Miknas Kes Shinimo Liech, Vyesh Miknas Kes Shinimo Lishmona, Ketzad. Lakach Shivcha Muberes. He purchased a Shivcha and she was pregnant. Vyakach Yold and she gave birth. Zeu Miknas Kesef, Hanimo Lishmona. In other words, since the baby was born in his house, after he had already purchased the Shivcha, the baby is like Yisrael, has the same status of Nimol Shmon. However, Lokach Shivcha Uvlada Ima, if he purchased the Shivcha together with a Vlad, so the Vlad was born before he purchased the Shivcha, Zeu Miknas Kesef HaNimol Liech. This is a case where immediately with the purchase, even though we haven't waited 8 days since its birth, since it was nolad birshuso, it's eino domel Yisrael. So in the first case where he purchased the shivcha mi'uberes, that's called Nolad Bibeso. And if it's Nolad Bibeso, it's Nimo Lishmon, like Israel. But if it's Lokak Shivka Vlada Ima, that's called Miknas Kesef Shinimoli Echad. That's not Nolad Bibeso, that's only Nolad Birshuso. Now the Bryce goes back to explain the first din in the ratio. And that is V'yesh Yilid Bayis Shenimo L'Shmona Ketzad Lokach Shivcha V'nis Abra Etzlo V'yolda. It wasn't that he purchased a Shivcha that was pregnant already, but rather she became pregnant after the purchase and she gave birth. Zeu Yilid Bayis Hanimol L'Shmona. Okay, the Gemara is going to ask a little bit later on, in what situation is it Yilid Bayis Hanimol Liyom Echad? And here we have a Machlokes Tanoim. Rabbi Chama Omer Yolda V'Yachkach Hitbila. If the Shivcha gave birth and only after the birth she had a tevila, she went to the mikvah shem avdus, which means at the time that she gave birth to the baby boy, she was still in a situation of what we call tmeya tumas leda. So again, at the time of the leda, she was lo haisa dayin tmeya tumas leda. Correct? Because the Leda was, this is a case where she became pregnant Etzlo. So it's the Tvila that generates her status as a Shivcha. And that Tvila took place after the Leda. The Leda preempts the Tvila. So therefore, if you ask what was her status as far as the time of Leda is concerned, and she hasn't yet been Tovela, so she's not in any way, has she left the status as a Goyita, and therefore she was not in the parsha of what you call Tumas Leda, and now we're trying to figure out the relationship between Tumas Leda and the birth, as far as Mila is concerned, is Zeu Yilid Bayis Shenimo Liyom Echad. Okay, so it's not the child does not have the status of a Jewish child like a Yisrael. He's not Domali Yisrael, who's Nimo L'Shmona. However, Hidbila V'Achakach Yolda, if she became pregnant after he bought her, after he purchased her, and he brought her to the mikvah for the purpose of avdus, and now she has a din, a status of a shivcha kanaanis who has a chiyuv mitzvah like an isha, and then she gives birth. So at the time of her birth, she's included in tumas leda, because the tevila took place before the birth. Zeu yilid bayis hanimol lishmona. Now the child has the status like a Jewish child, and he's Nimo L'Shmona. So that's Rabbi Chama. Now what about the Tanakama? So the Gemara asks, Tanakama lo shani le. The Tanakama makes no distinction bein hitvila v'yachkach yolda, whether the tevila took place before the leda, bein yolda v'yachkach hitvila, or whether or not the leda took place first and afterwards the tevila. And apparently Rabbi Chama disagrees with the Tanakama, who denies that distinction, who makes no distinction between the two cases. And therefore, we can assume that Tanakama holds that afal gavdi ein imo tmeya leda nimo l'shmona, that even in the case where the tefillah took place later on, so at the time of the Leda, she was not included in the status of Shivcha, and she therefore does not have tumas leida. Nevertheless, even in a case where yolda the achkach hitpila, apparently it's nimol l'shmona. And what that means is that, according to Rav Asi, if a woman is not tmei leida, then she's not nimol l'shmona. And this point is very contention. There's a contention as far as the Tanoim are concerned, because according to the way we're learning the Tanakama, even if the leida took place before the tevila, which means that that leida did not generate tumas leida, she was not yet a shivcha, nevertheless is nimo l'shmona, which is against Rav Asi, who says that even that the din of nimo l'shmona is generated by tumas leida and depend upon tumas leida. Now the Gemara has a kasha in order to clarify this rice. So Vishlam Rabbi Chama, we can understand the sheet of Rami Bar Chama. He says that the time of the Milas Eved depends upon Tumas Imo and Mishkachas Lo. You can find a case of Yulid Bayis, Shenimoli Echad, Yulid Bayis Shenimoli Shmona, Miknas Kesef, Nimoli Echad, Miknas Kesef, Nimoli Shmona. And how does that work out? If she, the mother, became pregnant, and then she gave birth, and only afterwards she had the Tevila, that's going to be a Yulid Bayis Shenimoli Echad. In other words, since the mother gave birth before her tevila, and she's therefore not included in the parasha tumas leida, therefore the child is nimod liyecha. But in the case of a tevila, if the status of her as a shivcha took place before the leida achach yolda, zeh yulid bayis shenimod l'shmona, because this leida would generate a tumas leida because she had the tevila before the leida. And miknas kesef nimod l'shmona, kigon, would be a case shalokach shivcha muberes vidbila viachach yolda. So it means that since again the tefillah took place before the leida, she's tmeya tumas leida, and therefore her son has the status like Israel. He's nolad bershuso and he's nimol lishmona. But miknas kesef nimol liyechad, what would be that case? Kigon, let's say for example, two people purchase a shivcha muberes in a way that lokach ze shivcha veze ubra, one of them purchases the shivcha and the other the fetus in its mother's body, and therefore when we talk about the lokeach, the purchaser who purchased the ubar, he has no ownership whatsoever the mother. This ubar is not similar to a Leidas Yisrael, because in Leidas Yisrael there's a relationship between the mother and the child. Here, he, the Lokech, has no relationship to the mother. El Tanakama, but if we go like the Tanakama, Bishleim, I understand Kulu Mishkachas Lahu. We could have all these halachas, except for the case of Yulid Bayis Hanimol Yechad, is as we found in the Braisa. The Braisa explains it. But now let's talk about Yulid Bayis Nimol Yechad. Is Heichem Mishkachas Lo? If according to the Tanakama, any Eved who is born in the Bayis of Yisrael has the din of Yisrael Shenivo L'Shmona, how much more so in terms of a Yulid Bayis, right? Sha'af Iburo Hoya Bishusa, that even the conception was in his house, in his rishus. So Gemara answers, Om Rav Yirmiya Belokech Shivcha Li Ubra, that he purchased the Shivcha on the condition that if she gets pregnant, the fetus will be his, and that's the entire scope of his purchase, meaning he's not buying the shivcha, he's only buying the bailus over the vlad. The bailus over the shivcha itself remains in the hands of the mocher. Now, after this purchase, she became pregnant and she gave birth. And in this case, there's no mila b'shmona, because once again, this is not similar to Yisrael, there's no chelek imo. In the case of Yisrael, there's a chelek imo. So we ask the following question. Hanicha, this makes sense. Laman diomer, according to one man diomer in Baba Basra, that kinyan pairs lav kiki in aguf dami, which therefore means the purchaser has no kinyan on the mother. El laman diomer kinyan pairs kiki in aguf dami, Michael Memer. In order to purchase the vlad, your rights in the vlad depend upon your kinyan in the mother, which is called kinyan aguf. So really, here there is a chelik in the emo. The condition of the purchase was that he is not going to put her into the mikveh, and she became pregnant at Sloviolda. In this case, there's no shaykhis to chiyuv mitzvahs over here, and therefore, even though he has a chelik in the mother, because if we're holding now kinyan peres kinyan aguf tami, it's not similar to Yisrael shenim oliecha, and therefore it's nim oliecha. And why isn't it similar to Yisrael? Because the Yisrael situation is where there's a chiyuv mitzvahs in the mother, and there's a chiyuv mitzvahs now in the child. Now let's go back to something we discussed earlier on the previous Amud about a baby that's born in the eighth day, after eight months of pregnancy. And we said that the status of such a baby is nefel, he's not going to survive, and therefore obviously his mila does not override the Shabbos. Now the Gemara wants to understand, in any vlad, how do you know exactly that it's not an nefel? You know, you want to take a child that was born on Shabbos and want to count 8 days and circumcise the child on Shabbos. Why not raise the possibility that maybe there were only eight months of pregnancy? Tanya, we have a brisa. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer Kol Sheshah Shloshim Yom BaAdam. If a human being is born and he lives till day 30, is biyadua, we can assume without a doubt Eino Nefel. He's Yotze Mechal Nefel. And this we see in the parasha, which we're going to read in Mitzvah this Shabbos here, that's Yisrael Shenemar. In the parasha Pidyon HaBen, it says, Uptuyav mi ben chodesh tifte, that we have to wait 30 days since its birth in order to be poded. And only after that period of date, that the 30 days have passed, we know it's not a nefel, and therefore he's chayav in pidyon. Now, Shmonas Yomim, in the case of an animal, that since its birth it survived already 8 days, Vlad Behema, Yadua Eino Nefel, and therefore you're allowed to eat it. There's no issue of Trefa. Shenemar, because the Torah says, with regard to a carbon, in other words, when is the animal roi le carbon? It's miyomashmini vahola, yeirotza le carbon. Because at that point, after the 8th day of its life, the Torah says, you waited the 8 days, now you know it's not a nefer. So the Gemara asks the question, Holo Shah. Apparently from Rav Shimon Gamliel we could derive the conclusion that if 30 days haven't passed since the baby was born, a human being, Sveika Havi, we really don't know if it's a nefel or if it's a bar kayomer. If that be the case, Meimal Hechi Malina, how could we ever circumcise a baby that was born on Shabbos, on the following Shabbos, when it's a suffix, whether it's a nefel or not? We'll only know after 30 days. And of course, as we discussed on many occasions, Mila Shalom B'Makom Mitzvah is a Meleches Chabura. So now you have a suffix, you're going to violate Meleches Chabura for what might turn out to be a Nefel? And we have a principle that Vadai Velo Suffix. Is therefore Amar Av Ado Bar Ava Molinoso Mimonefshach. The Mila itself is permissible no matter what. No matter how you slice the cake. Here we're on the top of Kuf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Im Chayhu, if we know that it's a 9-month baby and is perfectly healthy, Shapir Kamol, certainly its Mila overrides the Shabbos. And even in the worst case scenario, that it's only an 8-month-old baby and it's going to die, so then it's not Chabura. You know, you haven't violated the Shabbos through its Mila, because Mechatech Bebosar Mace, who, there's no Easter here in Bosar Mace, right? The whole Easter of Chabura is Netilas Neshama, Kia Hadam Hu HaNefesh, but if it's a dead body, then cutting a dead body is not an Easter of Chovel, of Chabura. So the Gemara asks, Elohad Desanya, what do we do with the Brisa that says, Sofek Ben Shiva, Sofek Ben Shmona, Ein Mechal and Olvas HaShabbos? What's the whole issue here? You don't know whether it's 8 months and it's not going to survive, or it's 7 months and it will survive. So what's your hesitation in Mila? Is Amai Nivale Mimonav Shachim Chayu Shapikam Alam Lav Mechatik Bosbi Alma? So you have the same Mimonav Shach in a case of a Sofik Ben Shiva, Sofik Ben Shmona. So my answer is Omar Mar Bered Ravina Anov Rav Nechumi Bar Zecharya Tirgame. We answered this question, Mimal Hachinami Malina Le. When it says Ein Mechal Enos HaShabbos, it doesn't mean that we don't circumcise him. We're definitely going to circumcise this baby who's a Sofik Ben Shmona. Lo Nitzrecho, and the Bryce says Ein Mechal Enos HaShabbos Elo Lamach Shirei Milo. I'll leave it to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is the sheet at the beginning of that perek, that the Torah was matir, chil Shabbos, not only for the sake of the meal itself, but even for makshire mila. And our Tana is going to teach us that this din of Rabbi Eliezer, expanding the scope of the heter to include makshire mila, that only applies when you know that it's a viable baby. We know it's after 9 months of pregnancy, but if it's a suffix, maybe it's after 8 months, and maybe the mila is not a milas mitzvah, then he will chas v'shalom be mechalas HaShabbos. And let's say, for example, in the case where he has to prepare an izmal, right? So he makes coals and he takes a piece of iron and he heats it up in the coals in order to create an izmal for Mila. He might be violating Shabbos because maybe the child is a ben shmona. Meaning, as far as the chabur itself is concerned, the gufa shel mila, that's not a problem, because mimonavshach, we have the mimonavshach. But you don't have the mimonavshach as far as preparing the izmal and machshiri mila. And that's what the Tana had in mind when he says, Eina dochas HaShabbos. Omar Abaye ki tanoi. We're going to have a machlokes tanoim on this very point. We have a braisa, and it says in the Torah regarding Tumas Nevela in Vayikra Yud-Alef, Kilchi Yomus Min HaBehem Asher Hi Lachem Li'Ochla Anu Gebin Ivlasa Yitma. So we're going to emphasize the word Li'Ochla, and that means Lahavi Ben Shmona. You have a Vlad of a Behema that was born after 8 months of pregnancy, and that's indicated by the word Li'Ochla, because it would be nitar b'shchitas imo if the shchita was done when the mother animal was pregnant, and it would be muchan l'achila without shchita. Is lahavi ben shmona, so the vlad is a ben shmona, she'ein shchitaso mitaroso mitumas nevela. In other words, since this vlad cannot survive, therefore it has the status of a treifa, and the shechita therefore is meaningless in two senses. Namely, it's not only that the shechita is not capable of being mater achilas abasa, but it's not even capable of being being matayr midei nevela. That's according to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon omrim shechitasa v'tarasa. In other words, even though certainly the shechita in this case, in a ben shmona, cannot be matir, the achilas basar, it's nevela, but nevertheless, at least it's a shechita amataheres, and they're two different dinim. So my laba hakom ifli mar sovar chayhu umar sovar mesu. According to the shita of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Lazar, they hold that a ben shmon is considered chai, and therefore the shita is meaningful, and it's going to be mitar midei nevela. But according to Tanakama, he holds that in the case of a ben shmona, it's considered kimes, and therefore the shechita is meaningless. If the shechita is meaningless as far as the hatus abasar, then it's going to be meaningless even as far as being mitar midei nevela. And the Gemara rejects it. Amar Rava ihachi, if the machlokus is how to classify a ben shmona, is he kechay or kemes? Adam miflugi leinyan tuma vitara lifkei leinyan achila. In other words, if you're holding, according to one Tana, the way you're interpreting it, that ben shmona is considered a chai, then you should be allowed to eat the basar after shechita. The shechita should be matir as a basar. There's no reason why not. And the Tana who holds that a ben shmona is nidon kimeis, he's going to say that the shechita is not capable of being matir the iser of achila. It's nevela. Ela, but rather by process of elimination, says Rava kuli alma. We have to assume that according to everyone, a ben shmona is considered a mesu. But the specific machlokes they're honing in on is linyan tumas nevela. Rav Yossi, Rav Yudah, Rav Elos, Rav Shimon Savri, they hold that the status of a ben shmona is equal to a treifa. And a treifa, even though you cannot shecht it and be mata the basar, clearly, hafagav de mesi, because shechita is, in the case of a treifa, it's considered as if it's gone already, it died already, and we know it's not going to live, so it's considered like mesa, but nevertheless, shechitasim et harasa. The shechita is meaningful in the case of a treifa, to be matar midei nevela. Zochinami here too, in the case of a ben shmona, which was slaughtered, is loshna. We're not going to make any difference between that and the case of treifa. And even if you assume, according to all tanoim, that a ben shmona is considered kemes, nevertheless, according to one opinion at least, the shechita is matar raso midei tumas nevela. Rabbanan hold, in the case of ben shmona, lo domi le treifa. It's worse than a treifa. In the case of a treifa, the shechita is meaningful to be mitar midei nevela. But that's because treifa hoisa lo shasa kosher at one time in its life. It was a full, healthy animal. And they could have shechted it before it became a treifa. So the animal at some point lent itself or lends itself to treif, but high in the case of ben shmona from its birth, lo haisa lo shasa kosher, it couldn't have been shechted, and if it couldn't have been shechted, then the shechita is not even like the shechita of a treifa, which was haisa lo shasa kosher, and it cannot be mitayr the vlad midei nevela, midei tumas nevela. The chitema, the Gemara says, and if you'll say, well, you know what, this animal, shenasta treifa mi beten, what about the animal that became a treifa already while it was in the womb of its mother? It was born a treifa, never had a shasa kosher. So you're going to tell me that in that case, the shechita is not mitar midei tumas nevela? That case, which again, the tuma is mitar, is equal to the case of ben shmona. Because from its inception, it never had a shasa kosher, it was treifa. Michael and Meimar, what can the Chachamim respond to this? Hosam yesh b'mina shechita. We go back to the min. So it's true that this particular animal was born a treifa, and from its leda, it didn't lend itself to shechita. But if we ask about the min, it is a min that lends itself to shechita, if not for the fact that it became a treifa. Hacha, in the case of a nolad bishmini, after 8 months pregnancy, ein b'mina shechita. Now, there's all animals that are born after 8 months of pregnancy are excluded from shechita because they're all nidon kemes. Okay, then, this is where we're going to stop. So let's make a note of where we got up to. We're on daf kuf lamid vav amid aleph, and we're up to iboilahu, which is right smack in the middle of the Amud, and the first one in the line is Iboilahu. And Mitzvah Hashem, we'll cover that in the next shiur.